Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Tuesday. You know, a week from today, the Suns are going to find out if all their sucking and losing on purpose pays off. That's right. A week from today is the draft lottery. It's like right around the corner. So we're going to have Adam Zagoria with us, basketball insider for Sportsnet New York, author of Zag's Blog. Zag's Blog is one of those deep, dark secrets in a good way that if you want to know what's going on in college and pro and workouts and even recruiting, Zag's Blog is one of those spots that you should definitely bookmark. And Adam Zagoria does a terrific job. He'll be with us at 10:20. Greg Byrne is going to be with us today, director of athletics at Alabama. So he signs Nick Saban to an $11 million contract and gets crushed. And I think you can make the argument very simply, unless you're an Auburn fan or you just don't like Alabama, that having Nick Saban has probably helped enrollment at Alabama outside of football. In fact, I know it has. But Greg will have the numbers behind it. And, you know, why the linebacker coach is making more money than Greg now, and if he has one of those spiffy, fancy sports coats. So we're going to attempt to Skype in with Greg Byrne. That comes up at 10:35. You know, the NBA playoffs last night, they went as expected once again. And I saw where Charles went off last night inside the NBA about how it's the worst playoffs ever. And it's really not. This is going to produce an amazing finals. As I'm sitting here with you guys today, it's going to be an amazing finals. I don't think the conference finals are going to be any good at all. You know, the Warriors just blew right through Utah last night. Draymond had a triple-double. Steph had 30 on 15 shots. Warriors win. Cavaliers win. Back and forth. Both teams are 4-0. This was predictable. Anybody who thought otherwise, all the way back in November, December, you were just fooling yourselves. Because these teams are like the JV and the varsity is playing every other night. And now we've got to watch the JV play. There's nothing wrong with being the JV. I wish the Suns were even the freshman team at this point. Like where Utah is, in all seriousness, guys, where Utah is today, they should be very happy in Salt Lake City about the season that the Jazz had, because they were a team on the outside looking in. They didn't go through the dry spell that we are going through and this nonsense of how much longer will fans be able to handle not missing the playoffs. It's been like 7 years too long already for those of us that know how it should be here in Phoenix, but it's not. So instead, I have to sit here for another week and say, man, I really hope they do well in the lottery. And do you take Ball or do you take Fultz? And I think it's all fair conversation, but I don't want to go through this again. A team like Utah figured it out. A team like Washington, which was perennially just awful for years and years. The Wizards were terrible. And now they're the second best team over in the Eastern Conference. There's nothing wrong with that. They're going to beat Boston in advance, in my opinion. But that doesn't mean it's compelling to watch. We know how the boat sinks at the end, okay? And when the boat sinks at the end, like in Titanic, you can sit there for 3 hours. You'll never get it back because the boat sinks. We know it. We know that the Cavaliers and the Warriors are going to meet each other. But the only intrigue on all this is, are they going to meet each other with perfect 12-0 marks? They will be the first two teams in the history of the NBA to meet one another for three straight years in the postseason. That is compelling. They are going to be rested because they're blowing right through teams and getting a week off at a time. That's compelling. There's not a chance, in my opinion, that Cleveland or Golden State are going to sweep one another. So we are setting up a Titanic matchup. We don't know how the story ends, though. This is Dodgers-Yankees back in the day. This is Steelers-Cowboys back in the day. This is going to shape up to be something phenomenal for an NBA championship. You just have to go through the sausage making, and nobody likes to see how sausage is made, that we're going through right now.
You know what this is, Brad? Hmm. And they're in 30 for 30 on ESPN is doing a documentary on this. This is Celtics-Lakers from the 80s. That's what it's turning into.
This is going to be awesome. And anybody's like, oh, I just can't watch the NBA. And, you know, you're just somebody who doesn't like the NBA and you're just a football guy.
I love the NBA playoffs. Love them.
I don't love the quality of play. You know, I have not found myself glued. When Tony Parker went down, I like watching Kawhi Leonard. And I really like watching Pop Coach. I love watching him coach. And I like Mike D'Antoni as a person. He made a fatal error in listening to others than himself to leave here and to go to New York City. And it's never quite been the same. So now he's in a market that's not New York and it's not Los Angeles. He kind of fits in. James Harden's rallied back. They're not the most pleasing team to watch.
But the NBA playoffs have sort of followed the script. I mean, everyone knew.
When
it started, we all knew it was going to be Warriors, Cavs, and that's
right.
Clearly how it's going to be. So I didn't really expect anything else.
But I don't think there's a reason to bag on it. Like, I disagree.
No.
I disagree with Charles about how these are the worst playoffs ever. I don't know if one year is worse than the other. They're going to finish with a crescendo in a good way.
Yep.
This is going to be a phenomenal. The fact that both teams are going to sit around for a week is great.
And the storylines early in the playoffs, like Boston and Washington just hating each other.
Yeah.
That's pretty much got me to watch that round.
And they brawl.
Yeah, and otherwise I probably wouldn't have watched it.
But you know that what's going to come out of that is a team that's worn out. And the Cavaliers just going to mow right through mm-hmm. them. They may win a game, game. But eventually, the fatigue is going to take over. There was a story that Gil Brandt, I like Gil Brandt. We have not had Gil Brandt on this show in a long, long time. So Gil Brandt's considered the godfather of the National Football League. He has a show that I listen to on Sirius XM. I am on Sirius all the time. That is all I listen to outside of podcasts. So I hear a lot of Gil Brandt. Gil Brandt this morning on Twitter, and I had a bunch of people, some inside Arizona State, who sent this over to me, and I'm not sure if they meant it in a way of, boy, you do all this stuff on high school and the players aren't really that good. I'm not sure. Or that Todd Graham really shouldn't be closing the borders, or that Rich Rod shouldn't be closing. I'm not sure. Gil Brandt put out on Twitter this morning that 37 states, as well as D.C. and American Samoa, had at least one player drafted. All right. Ohio and Texas led all states with four first-round picks. Alabama, California, Georgia, and New Jersey followed with three. He then went down the top several states and didn't list Arizona. Gil Brandt on Twitter 2 hours ago, states with high schools that produced most NFL draft picks in 2017. Georgia was number one. Florida was number two. California was number three. Texas was number four. Georgia was number one with 29 players. It's a lot. Florida had 27. California had 26. Texas had 24. Louisiana was fifth with 16. Tied with Ohio with 16. Pennsylvania with 11. Illinois with 10. So, what was one of these I was looking at? Someone that's connected in the college world here said, pretty eye-opening, because all I ever hear is how great of a football state we have. According to this, we're actually pretty mediocre. And I replied back, yeah, this sounds about right. I'd say there's about 3 to 5 kids at max per year that come out of Arizona. It's not like we have a lot of football that's being played at the highest of level with big kids in most of our state. No offense to those in the surrounding outlying communities, but we have a lot of those. It's not like Kingman is a hotspot. It's not like Sholo is a hotspot. Nice people, love being in the White Mountains, not a hotspot. It's not like Sierra Vista is a place where football players go to look for talent. Do college coaches, Eric, go to Tucson much to look for talent? And are there players that may fly under the radar even in Tucson? Because
yes.
why do you even need to get in a car and go from Phoenix down to Tucson?
Yeah, I've heard from a couple of coaches in Tucson over the years that they just don't get the attention because there are so many prospects in Phoenix and so many more people in Phoenix. They don't necessarily need to go to Tucson to find players to fill holes.
Okay, let me think. The last good player, the last NFL drafted player or player out of Tucson would probably be Kadeem Carey, I would think.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head, unless I'm missing something. You know, this year out of Phoenix, the top player out of Phoenix the last several years. Now, let's just go this year. No, not the last several years, probably just this year. It's hard to think, right? The next great one out of Phoenix would be Christian Kirk, already rated number one wide receiver in the nation. He's down at Texas A&M. Aside from that, when quarterbacks left here, when they left here, and I'm going through Connor Brewer and I'm going through Kyle Allen, let's not say Kyle Allen can't make it. Brett Hundley left here, went to UCLA, got drafted by the Green Bay Packers, backing up Aaron Rodgers. yeah, we're not going to produce tons and tons of players. And I actually think this would be a better conversation. Let's see where we are 3 years later, because counting NFL free agents, and now more and more guys that are free agents make it in the National Football League. It's no longer an anomaly. It's just not. We have good football here. We don't have the numbers here of other states, and we have about 10 to 15 high-end kids every year. I think last year Jason Jewell told me there was north of 70 Division I athletes that were given scholarships in football alone. It's like in basketball. Marvin Bagley was here. Marvin's dad didn't want him here. Took him out to Los Angeles. Marvin Bagley, in my book, counts as homegrown here in Arizona until the dad took him away. We all knew when he was a freshman that he was going to be really, really good. You know, Mike Bibby, Jared Bayless, I can go on and on that. So it's kind of interesting on Gil Brandt's front. Diamondbacks have the Tigers tonight. We'll talk more about that later on in the show. And Tim Tebow signs an extension to be broadcaster at ESPN. He is living the life, I will tell you that. And I like that. Up next, we're going to switch gears over to the NBA pre-draft combine in Chicago. The lottery for the Suns is a week from today. Adam Zagori will be with us. That is next from Zag's blog, Basketball Insider for Sportsnet New York. And we're going to get into U of A and ASU quite a bit, too. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. In the best interest of the team to tank, to just blow, it's been 7 years since having a postseason game here in Phoenix. It's so hard to believe. And not only the NBA pre-draft, DeLonzo Ball, Markelle Fultz, the Suns get a top two, top three pick. What do they do there? But also U of A with a slew of players leaving, Sean Miller and Bobby Hurley and Dan Marley over GCU adding some high-profile transfer players. All that can be covered by Adam Zagoria. And you can check out Zag's blog. I mentioned to you earlier, it's one of those really cool sites, zagsblog.com. Adam is with us, Basketball Insider for Sportsnet New York, author of Zag's blog. What is most interesting to you coming into the draft combine time, Adam?
So how you doing, Brad? Thanks for having me on.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I'm going to be going out to Chicago later this week. And, you know, I'd say probably the two most interesting stories are guys who are not going to play 5-on-5 at the combine, but will be there. Hamidou Diallo from Kentucky and Harry Giles from Duke. You know, for people who don't know, Hamidou, you know, could be a none and done at Kentucky. He's never played a game there, and now he's testing the waters. Incredibly athletic kid, 6'6", wing, who, you know, if he gets a guarantee, could go in the first round. And then Harry Giles is a kid from Duke who was terrifically athletic as a high school kid, has had a couple of knee surgeries, had kind of a limited season at Duke, and it'll be interesting to see how his medicals come out.
If you're the Suns, you're sitting there, you need to know a week from today where your spot is, obviously. But I think you have to go through all the scenarios. So let's just go through, Adam, what is the buzz about Ball and his father and draftable, undraftable, that high up because the dad has made the Lakers such a point of emphasis? What do you hear when you talk to your people about this?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, most people think Markelle Fultz, the guard out of Washington, who's about 6'4", 6'5", will probably be the number one pick. And then you have a couple guys after that, including Lonzo Ball from UCLA, Josh Jackson from Kansas, and Jason Tatum from Duke, who are kind of in that next group after Fultz. It'll be interesting if the Lakers do end up getting the number one pick. You know, it's LaVar Ball has made no secret that he wants his son to play for the Lakers. So if the Lakers pick at number one, you know, they could take Lonzo Ball, and then a team like Phoenix, if they pick at two, you know, would have some really good choices there in Fultz and Jackson and Tatum, and they could get Markelle Fultz.
And because of that, let's just say the Lakers fall out of the top four, then it's Philly's pick. So all of a sudden, Philly becomes the power player in this draft. I think that
The Sixers could potentially, Brad, get the number one and number four picks in this draft.
And that's important, I think, if Phoenix is sitting there on the board and if Ball is still on the board. I mean, Adam, out here, the question is, given where the dad has drawn the line in the sand, do you trust the dad to handle the kid? Is the kid only going to be here for his first contract and then out of here? I think it's an interesting side note to this this combine, because a guy like Josh Jackson makes a lot of sense for Phoenix. Markelle Fultz, I think you can make the argument, makes a lot of sense for Phoenix. They have a lot of tradable items here in Phoenix, but how far do you go on ball, I think, is the question out here.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, there's a lot of layers to that story, and it'll be interesting to see once Lonzo gets into the NBA if he kind of separates himself from his dad. You know, he's been pretty much a kind of a quiet, shy kid, and the father's been on, you know,
everywhere.
Stephen A. on ESPN, you know, talking it up and doing all the talking, and it'll be kind of interesting to see if Lonzo steps out of his father's shadow at some point once he gets the NBA money and does his own thing. I mean, right now the dad's obviously kind of running the show.
Okay, let's switch over to the college end. Adam Zagoria with us, Zags blog, basketball insider for Sportsnet New York. Really good content you can check out at zagsblog.com. I'm just going to throw names at you on Sean Miller's team that are sitting out there. What do you hear? What do you know? Let's start with Raleigh Alkins. What do you hear? What do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually been texting with Raleigh. You know, I've known him for several years since he played high school ball here in New York City. You know, he's a really interesting guy who, if he plays well at the combine, you know, could potentially help himself and get himself in the first round, late first round. I know a bunch of, he worked out for Oklahoma City on Sunday, and a bunch of teams, including the Cavs, the Heat, and Oklahoma City, have checked in with his high school coach at Christ the King. You know, he's a really physical, tough 6'5" kid. A lot of people compare him to Lance Stevenson, who's also from New York City. So, I'm looking forward to seeing Raleigh at the combine.
Chance.
And obviously what he does, that, you know, that will then impact their recruiting with guys like Brian Bowen, who are kind of waiting to see, you know, what Raleigh does.
Chance Comanche.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's one of these, you know, many guys who, you know, he only averaged 6 points or whatever. You know, maybe somebody takes him in the second round. Probably a lot of it will depend on how his workouts go.
Kadeem Allen.
You know, again, I think he's a guy that's going to have to maybe be a free agent, summer league kind of guy, and, you know, impress people in individual workouts.
Kobe Simmons is another one that left with a lot of hype, a lot of stars. Anything on Kobe Simmons, or is he in the same class as the other two?
I mean, I think Draft Express has him somewhere kind of late, you know, first round. You know, a lot of it's going to depend on how these guys interview and how they perform during workouts and things like that.
Okay, let's then talk about a lottery player, and that's Lauri Markkanen. So watching him play out here, you know, people said initially it was Dirk that was compared to. Then as the season progressed, I'd hear NBA guys roll through Phoenix or during the tournament, they said, no, this is Porzingis, except younger. That's high, high praise. What do you see? What do you hear on Markkanen?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just to go back and clarify, Kobe Simmons, Draft Express has him at 55. So
okay, that's fine.
He's going to have to impress people in workouts. You know, Lauri Markkanen, I talked to one scout earlier this year. Sorry, I'm in New York City. There's some ambulances here. One scout who said, you know, Lauri Markkanen might be the best player in the draft. I think he was kind of, you know, because he played on the West Coast and at Arizona, maybe not as many people saw him as saw some of these other guys. But, you know, he's definitely drawn comparison. You know, those are big shoes to fill, Dirk Nowitzki and Kristaps Porzingis, but that's the way the NBA is trending now. You know, 7 foot guys who can run and shoot and stretch the floor, and he certainly fits the mold of that.
Bobby Hurley landed Carlton Bragg out of Kansas. Bill Self said, you know, you can take it and you can get out of here. What's your view of what Bobby has done here coming into his third season, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, again, I've known the Hurley family for many years, you know, covering their dad's program at Jersey City. I've known Danny and Bobby for many years. And, I mean, you know, I think, frankly, he's taken on some guys who are, you know, a little risky and have a little history to them in an effort to win. You know, guys like Torian Graham, who was on the roster this past season, and now obviously Carlton Bragg had his issues at Kansas. And, you know, I'm sure Bobby believes in giving guys a second chance and, you know, that a greener, you know, new environment will allow them to start over. But the fact is some of these guys are coming in with, you know, histories, and they're going to have to be good citizens as well as good players there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I believe in him as a coach. I agree with you on the questionable character. I think resource-wise, he's got to get some help from the administration out here in a new facility and things like that. But so far, and he's not coached a whole lot. When people think about it, it's not like he's even coached. I don't even think he's coached 130 games in his career yet. So he's doing a good job.
No, but I mean, yeah, it's funny. I mean, he has coached. I mean, he was an assistant with Danny at Wagner and at Rhode Island. And, you look at some of these other guys now, like Chris Mullen and Patrick Ewing at Georgetown.
Yeah. Yep.
These guys got jobs, head coaching jobs without ever coaching at all. So at least, Bobby did put in his time coaching with his brother. And, he's got the name for it, but he's got it's all about the Jimmies and the Joes, as they say.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. Hey, appreciate the time and insight. Good stuff, Adam. Hope to have you back on again. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for having me.
You got it. It's Adam Zagoria there, Basketball Insider, Sportsnet New York, and Zags Blog, zagsblog.com. Good stuff. Greg Byrne is on the other side. So the former U of A athletic director, now at Alabama, has been on the job all of 5-6 weeks and gives Nick Saban $11 million a year and makes his assistant coach one of the highest paid assistant coach in all of college football. We'll get caught up with Greg Byrne. That's on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Joined now by former University of Arizona Wildcat athletic director, now the AD, among other titles, at Alabama, and that would be Greg Byrne. He joins us via Skype. Wanted to get Greg on board after he left the U of A, went underwater for a couple of months to recharge, re-energize. He came up for air and said, I think I'm going to give Nick Saban a contract extension, and I'm going to give some contracts around and about. I figured 5-6 weeks into the job, it'd be good to catch up with him. It's been a busy stretch for you right off the bat since leaving the U of A, Greg. Let's just talk about how it's been for you down there.
Well, good morning, Brad. It's been great. Just like the people at the University of Arizona and the coaches and staff, there's so many wonderful people there. There's a lot of wonderful people here. And I've been spending a lot of time with our coaches, all of our coaches for all of our sports, trying to get to know our student athletes just a hair here at the end of the year. And then at the same time, to get out around the state, even around the region, and get to know the Alabama faithful. So it's been a bit of a whirlwind, but it's been a lot of fun and really enjoying getting to know everybody out here.
Greg, when you first took the job, was it on your mind immediately? In all seriousness, I've got to extend Nick Saban.
Well, as you can imagine, the success of Alabama football under Coach Saban, and obviously there was a lot of success in the past under Coach Bryan as well and other coaches, how you manage your football program here is very important. And so one of the first questions I asked of the president and our CFO here and a few other people is tell me about Coach Saban's contract situation. He and I had a discussion about it as well. And then spent some time looking at the marketplace at the same time, too, looking at the impact that he has made and his wife, Terry, have made here at the University of Alabama. And it was something that I wanted to be able to address here. It had been about almost 3 years since his last contract extension. And I wanted to send a very significant message to him about how much, as the AD, I value, obviously, the job that he's done. And at the same time, too, send a message to our fan base that Coach Saban's going to keep coaching here. And I think he's made it pretty clear that he's going to finish his coaching career here, which we're thrilled about. And so we signed him to a new 8-year agreement. And I couldn't have been more excited to get that done. And we're obviously pleased at the job that he's done in the past. It's incredible. And we're very, very pleased that he'll be the coach for many more years to come as well.
Can you give an idea of the value, not as a football coach, but as a recruiter for the University of Alabama, and the level of student that's not a athlete, that just student that Alabama football is able to get in front of because of Nick Saban? Because on the surface, Greg, there's this uproar of the value, the contract number given to Nick Saban. On the other side, he's recruiting more than just football players to come to the university, right, through football?
Yeah, I'll tell you a few things. One, some of the reactions out in the media landscape with this was that, are there some people that maybe coaches that are overpaid out there that perhaps could be argued? But Nick Saban's not one of them. And the impact that he's had, he and Dr. Witt, who was the president here when he was hired, and a lot of other people, but the two of them deserve the accolades they receive, because when Coach Saban was hired 10 years ago, enrollment since then has gone from about 18, 19,000 to about 37, 38,000 in a 10-year time frame. And not only that, I was in the SEC when he was hired, and coming to Tuscaloosa in the past and seeing the investment in downtown, seeing the campus grow, has been a directly related to the rise of Alabama football to a very special level. And then my first weekend on the job, I was here, I was at our baseball game, and I go out to the outfield, and I where the students are during the game, and I go around and introduce myself to the students, and I was talking to students, and you know, maybe the first one I met was from Alabama, the next one I met was from California, the next one I met was from New York, and it went on and on like that. And so because of the profile that our football program has had, it's created the University of Alabama not only to be a brand in the state of Alabama and in the Southeast, but a national brand, and a lot of times internationally as well. And the successes we've been able to have with his leadership have had a direct impact on that.
Joined by Greg Byrne, athletic director at Alabama, formerly, of course, at the University of Arizona. I'm curious if you can give the fans out here an idea of the difference between SEC football and Pac-12 football without making it sound like you're hitting them over the head with a shovel, because it does to me seem to be night and day. Or is there really not that much of a difference on the business and football side?
Well, one of the things I always said at the University of Arizona, and I still feel this way, there are two schools in the Pac-12 that I think come closest to representing what the SEC is, and I think that's the University of Arizona and the University of Oregon, where 365 days a year, the university is the center of the community. It drives so much of the interest. In Tucson, I'd always say to recruits, all roads in Tucson lead to where you're sitting right here in my office, because South Tucson, North Tucson, East and West would all be interested when the Wildcats are playing. And the same thing, we had a good following, as you know, up in Phoenix as well. And here in Alabama, it's the same thing, maybe just a little bit more numbers. We had our spring game, which we call the A-Day game, and had 74,000 people at it a couple weekends ago. And that's really special and unique in the landscape of college football, and something we can't take for granted. And the other thing is, just like Tucson and Eugene, most of the SEC schools are in college towns, where it is the only game in town, and the university is the center of the community, and the passion and the interest that comes along with that 24/7, 365 is pretty special and unique. And the Pac-12 is a great conference, a lot of wonderful institutions. The ADs in the league are really good, a lot of great coaches, presidents, and chancellors, everything else like that. And the same's here in the SEC. So been fortunate to be in both conferences, have a tremendous amount of respect for the Pac-12, and I always will. Grew up in that conference, and I also have a lot of respect for the SEC and feel very fortunate to be here.
Are you going to schedule U of A or ASU in football?
No, there's no plans to schedule one another at this point. I was out in Phoenix for a couple days last week and saw Coach Rodriguez and saw Coach Graham, said hello to both of them, got to chat with Rich for quite a while, which was nice. But no plans as of right now.
All right. And before you get out of here, the dress accord, you don't have that bright red sport coat anymore. It's houndstooth, right? Alabama. Is that right, Greg?
Well, you got crimson. I actually just got a crimson sport coat with a houndstooth lining. So I made a speech last night to one of the Red Elephant clubs. They have them throughout the state, and I was at one of them last evening, and I wore that jacket. So they were pleased to see. They were pleased to see that. I haven't been able to find one like the Greg Byrne's coat that was out there for a while on Twitter. but we'll see, and maybe in time I can find a little something special. You know who used to have some fun jackets was Wimp Sanderson, if you remember him,
sure,
the old basketball coach,
sure,
Alabama.
Sure.
I told him that I had an affinity for some special sport coats now and then, so he was pleased to hear that.
Last question. What has been the biggest challenge for you in the first 6 weeks at Alabama?
Well, I would probably say just trying to get my arms around everything. We actually have just one more sport. We had 20 sports at Arizona. We have 21 here at Alabama. We've got about 100 more employees, and the budget is probably about about $75 million more. And so just getting your arms around all that and what that means is a significant time investment. And it's been quite a challenge. I'm enjoying it very much and look forward to I've told a few folks I'll be glad when it's about a year from now when I feel like I got a lot more names down and a lot more arms around what we're doing and what we'll be doing in the future as well.
Stay well. Appreciate the visit, as always. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, guys.
It's Greg Byrne, Director of Athletics at the University of Alabama. Appreciate his time. Alabama Crimson Tide Athletic Director Greg Byrne. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Today is a big day in our state on the sports front because Major League Soccer's number two in command of the league, Mark Abbott, the president and deputy commissioner of Major League Soccer, the MLS, is in Phoenix today. In fact, he's here now, from my understanding. And he is being taken around the Phoenix Rising Stadium, which is over at the 101-202. Burke Bacai, the governor of Phoenix Rising FC. Didier Drogba is part of it. Of course, Drogba, the co-owner, his player, hasn't been on the field as of yet. And in the last few days, there's been some conversation and some releases by the soccer team about bringing on board Goldman Sachs and some business side to try to impress the MLS. Now, I've been very passionate and very straightforward on this, that soccer does belong here in Phoenix. We're the only top 10 city that does not have an MLS franchise. I think it's just a matter of time. I think that there were some ownership groups years and years and years ago that did bad things, damage, harm to the whole idea of bringing soccer here. That turned once Kyle Ng took over. And then when Kyle parted ways and decided to go a different direction, Burke Bacai came in. I think Burke and his group have taken that and pushed it now to the point where this is going to become a reality, guys. I mean, they're not just messing around on this front. They're taking a good spot of land, I think, at the 101-202. I don't know if it's big enough. I'm sure that's part of the discussion with the MLS today. But this afternoon at 4 o'clock, there'll be a press conference, and I'm going to be at that press conference in downtown Phoenix, where the deputy commissioner of the MLS is going to be there to take questions, and also, I'm sure, meet some potential sponsors, meet some potential investors, and just see how serious we are here in Phoenix. So I hear this narrative about how, well, you know, and it's primarily this comes from people at Arizona State. Well, this is a pro sports town. It's taken away the college experience. It's never going to be the same. That's why we can't have the success that we want, because the money is, the dollars just too thin and fans don't show up like they do in college cities like Tucson or like Greg just was referring to with us down in Tuscaloosa. I'm sure there's some truth to that. I am sure of that. But I also believe that there is truth in if you win, then fans will show up in a big way. That hasn't happened since Jake Plummer was trying to take down Ohio State on a consistent basis. There have been all sorts of different ways to try to put it together. Dirk Cutter came here as the innovator in football. Guy from up in the northern part of our country. Guy's going to come from a small town school, small town program. He's going to get it turned around. And we're going to go with Dirk Cutter. And then that didn't work. Well, then we're going to go with Dennis Erickson. We're going to go with the grizzled veteran. And he's won at a lot of places. And Dennis Erickson's going to come here. He's going to be fully engaged and fully involved in all this. That didn't work. Then we're going to bring Todd Graham here. Todd is going to be upbeat, energized. He's going to do things off the field, in the classroom, things that we want to see here, and he has. He has. There's no question, if we go through the lineage of football coaches at Arizona State, love Bruce Snyder to death. He was a great man, but Bruce Snyder was not somebody that was going to get up in front of the masses and tell you what he's got and how good his team is in the way that Todd Graham does. It's not disrespecting Bruce, God rest his soul. That's just not who Bruce Snyder was. Dirk did not like talking into microphones, did not like talking to boosters. Dirk and I were fine. Dirk was not fine with others in town, but they had a different job. He wasn't good with print. Dennis was just here as a caretaker. He was just hanging out, kind of doing his thing, end of the road, did it at Oregon State, did it at Miami, did it with the 49ers. Oh, you know, I'll go to ASU, get a check. Todd's come in here, and he's changed some things, but I think this coming year could be a reset year for either Todd Graham or for Arizona State if things don't break the right way. Basketball, let's not kid each other. Arizona State basketball sounds good on the outside. Get on the inside. It is what it is. And I think Bobby's trying hard to change that. Yes, James Harden did come here. And yes, James Harden has turned out to be an MVP player in the league. And yes, he's been nice enough to give back to the university. But it hasn't changed the culture where every year this is a team that makes it into the tournament, gets at least the Sweet 16. And from there, anything's possible. In Tucson, there is nothing else in Tucson. There just isn't. So U of A basketball, that's it. Football team down there, fans don't care in big numbers. They need new play. They need new resources in terms of building. ASU needs resources in terms of building. So then you go over on the pro side here in town. Outside of the Cardinals a couple of years ago, what have we really had to cheer about on a consistent basis? And I'm not talking about diehards like you and I. You're sitting in your cubicle. You're into sports. You watch us do our thing. You're there. You're engaged. But most people aren't like you or I, okay? I talk about this, but I'm driving my kid to basketball practice last night like you guys. I got three boys singing in the backseat of my car last night and had them over for turkey tacos just like you guys. I'm trying to do homework with my son just like you guys. You know, I'm not going to sit there and watch every last minute of every last game, but I am going to be a homer. I am going to be a champion for having more teams come here because I think the marketplace can support it. Winning is a cure-all. When you win, the beer is not expensive, and the beer is cold. The cheerleaders aren't out of step, and they're all in shape. That's just how it is. The tickets aren't too expensive. It's not really that bad to park. There's nothing to bitch about when a team wins. Team loses, cheerleaders are out of step. Food's not good. Everything's lousy. Parking stinks. All that. I got it. I do think we're close on a couple of fronts in turning the ship around. I don't know that for sure. I think there's some dark days ahead potentially for the basketball team, even darker than where we are if they don't get the building stuff figured out. I think the baseball team is somewhat in the same space. They want to be over at the 101-202. The Suns may want to be up at Talking Stick. The Suns may want to be at the 101-202. Suns may want to leverage all of that into a new arena downtown. The Suns may be pursued by Kansas City or Seattle. You know, there's or Las Vegas. So I think there's a lot of options that are out there with two of our pro sports teams. It doesn't mean it's not a soccer stadium that can't be filled at 20,000 fans. Doesn't mean that. When I hear people say there's just not enough interest in sports, there's not enough interest in soccer, you just don't like soccer. It's fine. I happen to like all sports. I happen to like hockey. We don't talk much hockey. Yeah, the team stinks. Got it. So, and the ownership's a disaster. You know, I saw where the Coyotes went through another COO last week. I don't know how many COOs they've gone through. All this to say, my little rant is, we can support soccer here, and we can do it in a big way. Eric, you're not a soccer guy, but I think when you went out to the stadium with me, it kind of piqued your interest. Kind of like, oh, this wouldn't be half bad.
Sure. I would like to see an MLS team here. I think the more teams you have in the Valley, the better. And I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I'm not totally against the sport.
Yeah, it's not even being a fan. I think soccer's a community. It's like a brotherhood deal. You know, I don't hear people, it's not like NASCAR where you're rooting for a guy in a certain number car. I just think if people congregate at a soccer match and they're just a fan of the team. So this is a little different, I believe.
I just wonder if soccer has the long-term staying power
this
here
ownership
in
group,
the Valley. Because the last ownership group, it started off fine and then it kind of...
Well, then there were a lot of factors.
Of course.
I think Kyle did about as well as he could do on his own. This group's got like 10 guys. You know, he's over there trying to do it on his own. That's just hard. And I saw him grind away at it. I'm watching this group. This group can get it done. Are the expectations realistic? You know, I think the spot where they're located, Mesa is starting to get it turned around from my view. Mesa is not 1950s anymore. There's some smart, progressive thinkers over there.
And where the pop-up stadium is, I mean, you couldn't find a better location.
So, and you're going to draw from Mesa.
Yep.
It's not a far drive from Queen Creek. It's 20, 25 minutes.
It's not a far drive from downtown.
It's not a far drive from your house.
It's not a far drive from North Phoenix. No.
What is it from your house to there, do you think? 25, 30?
At the most, 30 minutes. Probably about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But I live way up. I live way up on the border of Cave Creek and Phoenix. So
yeah, I mean, you're in that mansion overlooking the city. I got it.
Nope, I live in the desert in a very modest home.
I got it.
Mansion. There's no mansions by us.
What did you think of Greg Byrne today?
Fine. Seems happy. I mean, he replaced one red shirt with another red shirt, and you know that guy. That was a good career move for Greg Byrne.
Well, sure,
in many, many ways.
But you have to think that 6 weeks in, he gives Nick Saban this enormous contract. Like, that had to have been on his mind, either in the interview process, and he didn't disclose it today. If in the interview, how would you handle Nick Saban? Had to have been brought up. Like, if it weren't for time constraints, I wanted to know, when was it that you sat with him? Was it at a golf cart and said, hey, I want to extend you? How did that work? Or is Nick Saban one of those guys where you just have to go to the agent? You don't even go to Nick.
Especially considering their relationship is pretty new. I mean, it's not
That's
like Greg Byrne and
Hi,
Nick
I'm Greg.
Saban. Yeah, exactly. I've
Hi,
known
I'm
each
Greg.
Other for 15 years.
And do you want an $11 million deal to stay here? I mean, that's to your point, that's what makes that so stunning to me.
Everybody got a raise.
Except Greg.
He doesn't need a raise. But guess what, Brad? He will get a raise because everywhere he goes and becomes the AD, he gets a raise.
He did get a bit of a raise, if I read between the lines correctly on that. But for the linebacker coach to now be making more than Greg Byrne, that's a new one for me. That's a new one for all the financial stuff, because we're fascinated by the business side of sports too.
Alabama's up here in football. Everyone else is kind of somewhere in the middle or down there.
I was kind of hoping he'd say, yeah, you know, maybe down the road with ASU or U of A. I'm already getting people sending me notes. ASU doesn't belong on the field without. Why? Why not? Why not play Alabama? I don't care if it's 70-0. Do you really think you're Appalachian State? That's your problem.
You're not going to get better playing Sacramento State and
New Mexico State.
New Mexico State and some of the other directional schools.
No, especially in this new world. This new world where they're going to gauge your strength of schedule.
Yep.
You cannot do the New Mexico States and NAUs back to back.
The CFP does not like playing the 1AA schools.
No. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website that you can check out. Pro College High School, High School College Pro. It's all there for you. It's free because we have sponsors. We thank our sponsors. Without our sponsors, we're not doing this. Eric and I are doing completely different things. For 5.5 years, we are self-funded. People come along and they like what we do and they say, how can I get involved? And that's how we've been able to do this. So thanks to those people. And our television show is on Fox Sports Arizona tonight. They actually upped us. We're up to 18 airings this week. 18 of them. They must really like what we're doing. You can check out our TV show tonight starting at 5 o'clock with the first airing before and after the Diamondbacks Tigers, afterwards with the Diamondbacks Tigers. And then all the way through, check out your program guide over on FSAZ on DirecTV or wherever you watch. Thanks to Jared Nielsen. Jared Nielsen is the Iron Man once again. And this is an early Iron Man. He made it here today. And Eric Sorensen, thanks to you. Haley Stasiak and Jordan, have a good day.